Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to today's Asia Pacific Regional Update. During this 45-minute call, you will be hearing from Stuart Upson, Jonathan Seller, Sophie Fullman, Danny Poljak, Karl Schabowski, Len Chersky, and Stuart Mercier. Mr. Stuart Upson, over to you.
Great. Thank you, operator. And hi, everyone, and thanks for joining today's call from wherever you may be. I just heard that at last count, we had almost 300 people already on the call from around the region, and the numbers continue to rise. So thank you, everyone, again, for taking the time to join the call. And it's just a great turnout from across the region. So I'm very pleased with that. We'd hoped to reschedule our town hall to later this month, but obviously COVID-19 had other ideas. And so therefore, we wanted to get everyone together virtually to talk about how Brookfield Asia Pacific is responding to the ongoing global pandemic. And apologies for the last minute delay yesterday. There were some technical difficulties with the conference service, which no doubt relate to the increased remote working activity. But we're on now, and I hope everyone can hear me. So far, so good. I also wanted to personally thank you all for adapting so well to what are increasingly strange circumstances. From what I've seen, our staff have done an amazing job creating home offices and getting on with things whilst juggling all the other challenges we have, like teaching or just trying to entertain our children, practicing social distancing, or just finding enough toilet paper for the week. I think going forward, a number of us will have newfound respect for the patience of teachers, and we won't be taking for granted some of the necessary daily supplies we're also used to having. So as the operator just said, the format for today's call is, firstly, I'm going to give an update from a regional and global perspective, and then Jono, Sophie, Danny, Carl, and Len are going to give a short summary of how things are going in each of our business units. We're then going to have Stuart Mercier provide us with some good news from the other side of the curve with an update from China and how they've managed to get through this crisis. Finally, we're going to open the floor to Q&A. In case you have any questions you'd like to ask live, we also asked you if you could provide us with questions in advance, and we hope that we'll be addressing these through the presentations. But if not, and if you have other questions come up that you'd rather ask on email, please feel free to either ask them at the end or continue to email them through to the comms and branding inbox, and we'll make sure we get them answered at the end. So I wanted to start by saying a big thank you to each and every one of you for the way you've responded during this complex and confusing time. I couldn't be prouder of the way our people just picked up, moved home, and got on with the job. I'm pleased to report that everyone at Brookfield Asia Pacific remains healthy and well, which is the most important thing. We appreciate that some of our employees' families have been impacted, and you are in our thoughts. It's been a tough time. We're worried about our health and that of our friends and family. Working from home has become the norm rather than the exception. Some of us are homeschooling our children, and we're getting used to social distancing, which obviously wasn't a concept any of us were familiar with before COVID-19, but now it's become a core part of our lives. And we're doing all this while at the same time we're getting on with our jobs. And so I do want to reiterate and thank everyone again for your dedication in such trying times. I know it hasn't been easy because I'm obviously living through it too. I've been impressed by the way you've taken to flexible working, your resilience, and your continued focus on our clients and our business. I also want to remind you to check back to the coronavirus intranet webpage regularly for some practical tips from IT to well-being to setting up your home office on how to make this experience easier. Thank you again for everything that you're doing. Your hard work has meant our business continues to be in good shape despite all of the disruption. So if you just take one thing away from this call, it's that while there are never any guarantees in life, we're confident Brookfield will manage through this down cycle. As Bruce said recently, we've been preparing for a recession for some time. We didn't know, obviously, that it was going to be caused by a global pandemic, but we've been expecting it nonetheless and building our liquidity to deal with it. Our patient, operationally focused global investment strategy is also well-suited to manage through periods of short-term disruption. And when I think about our businesses, they're generally very resilient and are diversified. Most of what we own is critical infrastructure, premium property assets, or services that are essential to the functioning of the economy. it's also important to note that BAM is well positioned financially. A couple of highlights include we have $12 billion of long-term non-cancelable bank lines across Brookfield and our four listed affiliates, all of which are virtually 100% undrawn. We've got upwards of $5 billion of financial assets that can be liquidated with relative ease if we needed to, and we have just $7 billion of corporate debt against a market cap of $40 to $60 billion coming due for a number of years. Similarly, we have very little debt coming due over the next few years in our private funds and our listed affiliates. And to the extent that we do have debt coming due, the financings and mortgages at the asset level, which prevents any impact beyond the asset. And even in 2008, 2009, we were able to roll these sorts of loans over. And I know that our local treasury team have been working really hard with our business groups to ensure that's the case here as well. This isn't to say, though, that all of our businesses are without challenges. We've had many people in the region working very hard to safeguard our portfolio companies to ride out the storm, and the other speakers are going to provide a bit more detail on that. I know for those involved, this has required some really long hours, some stressful situations, and I really appreciate all the effort and the fantastic results that we've achieved to date, given the situation we find ourselves in. There are also a number of people in our business who have been kept busy looking at opportunities that are emerging from this crisis, and this is really exciting. Globally, we've raised $50 billion in our most recent round.
Pardon the interruption, Stuart. Your line may be on mute or hands-free. We currently cannot hear you. Ladies and gentlemen, apologies. Kindly stay on the line. We will try and get Mr. Stuart Upson connected again. One moment, please. Thank you all for your patience. Mr. Stuart Upson, over to you.
Hey, all right. Sorry about that, everyone. Obviously, my signal at home is not as good as it could be. So apologies if I drop out again. Please don't drop off the call. I'll immediately dial back in. So just picking up where I was at, I was just really rounding out and saying that whilst we are, you know, there are going to be some challenges we're going to face, we don't foresee any major issues. And at a regional level, we've obviously been dealing with this crisis since late January when we when it became very serious in China. We had to shut down that Shanghai office. And since then, we've had a committee of regional executives meeting every week to consider our COVID response and what we had to do to protect our employees and our businesses. And we have been very well prepared, and we're now looking at how we will safely return to the office in the future. As fun as video calls and dealing with domestic distractions can be, I'm sure you're all keen for us to follow Shanghai's lead and get back into the office. However, our return is going to depend on how the situation is developing in each country, and we're going to follow government advice in that regard. And we'll keep you updated on this and how Brookfield is handling the crisis through our ongoing regular communications. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact me, your manager, or business unit head, or HR. I've also asked all the speakers today to include in their update some good news. As I know, all the bad news can be quite overwhelming. So for my part, my piece of good news is really just to reiterate the very strong position our business is in. These are the circumstances where historically we, Brookfield, have thrived and acquired some really attractive assets for value. Given our strong liquidity position, the huge amount of dry powder we have in our funds, and the fact that we just bought majority control of Oaktree, I don't see any reason that that won't be the case this time as well. So with that, I'll hand over to Jono, who can provide an update on infrastructure.
Thanks, Stu. Maybe I'll just do a sound check and make sure at least you can hear me, and then hopefully that means others can as well.
I can hear you, Jono.
Great. Thanks, mate. So good afternoon, everyone. In terms of our infrastructure business, I'm really pleased to report that our operating businesses are largely performing pretty well in the current environment. Of course, some of our businesses are being impacted, But I would say that we are very fortunate that many of the businesses we operate and own are considered to be essential services. And so as a result of that, they're being able to continue to operate even when businesses in the region are being required to be closed or scaled back. And so it's in these times that our infrastructure assets really do demonstrate their stable and predictable nature that attracted us to invest in them in the first place. So all of our businesses have been working pretty hard over the last 4 to 6 weeks, preparing for the impacts of COVID-19. They've been making arrangements so that our people and our customers can operate in a safe environment and still keep the big wheels turning and the lights on. And so far on that front, everything's going well. And as Stu reported earlier, I'm also pleased to report that within our operating businesses, we haven't had anyone, be tested positive for the virus. So it's, that's great. For some of our businesses that are exposed to... Did anyone else just hear that music, or was it just me?
Yep, it's, we're good, John. Keep going.
So for some of our businesses that are exposed to GDP-related activities, like our Lynx business, our stevedoring business at Patrick Terminals, and our toll roads in India, they are seeing reduced demand and reduced volumes. But whilst they're seeing that temporary jump in volumes, we do expect them to recover quickly when we emerge from the other side of this crisis and rebound strongly. At the other end of our spectrum, some of our businesses have not seen any material drop or change in their operating performances at all, like our coal terminal in Queensland, our railway business in WA, and our pipeline business in India. And that's underscoring the toll-like natures and take-or-pay contracts that we have in those key businesses, which is great. But I'd like to shine a bit of a spotlight on one of our newer businesses, which is our Vodafone New Zealand operation, and some of the key issues they're seeing through this COVID-19 crisis. And so if I mention a telco business, everyone and would probably think that telco businesses are doing pretty well right now. They're in high demand. Everyone's using their mobiles and their broadband, and South Lake Stu needs to upgrade his home broadband right now or get a better connection or even someone install a cell tower outside his house. It's certainly true that Vodafone have seen big increases in their demand and on their network, but they're also seeing some sizable reductions in other parts of their business, particularly when you think about the revenue that they get from their roaming charges. With the shutdown of global borders and, of course, the local New Zealand border, both inbound and outbound roaming are being dramatically curtailed during the period of this crisis, and we're not quite sure when those sort of revenue streams will come back on, hopefully soon. The other unknown for the Vodafone business is the level of potential bad debts and lost business as a result of any financial distress that businesses or individuals are experiencing during the crisis. It's not quite clear what the impact's going to be on the Vodafone business, but on the positive side, the New Zealand government, like our own governments and other governments globally, are taking swift and positive steps to support their residents and their businesses with subsidies and incentives during these challenging times, and this will soften any impact on our Vodafone operations. The management at Vodafone are also being very proactive in putting in place mitigation plans and a paring back CapEx project to conserve cash and manage liquidity. The Vodafone management are taking this opportunity to look at things they can do differently and maybe more quickly than what they were doing before, and fast-tracking cost-out programs that were being put in place before the COVID-19. There's a saying that you should never waste a good crisis, and I'm sure that the headwinds that the Vodafone team are facing in New Zealand will be mitigated and they'll emerge from this in better shape than they were heading into it. It's a terrific attitude to have, and something I think we can all think about when we're going through our work and trying to think about how we can do things differently. We already are doing things differently. So finally, I want to share with you a couple of good news stories that I've seen from our businesses in the recent weeks, and it's been really pleasing to see the absolute willingness of all of our Brookfield businesses to work together and support each other during these times. I've seen our businesses share COVID-19 policies and practices. I've seen our infrastructure business look to liberate any hand sanitizer to support the team at Aveo that desperately need this product. And as part of that, our Lynx team is assisting the Aveo team by transporting some of the hand sanitizer that they've managed to secure. And that could come from Melbourne, or it could potentially, if the price is right, come from a gin distillery in Fremantle that's repurposing its operations to produce hand sanitizer now. And in terms of the broader community effort, our Indian team donated $80,000 worth of face masks to the first responders and other emergency services in Mumbai, and our Indian toll road teams conducted workshops and for some of the villages alongside our roads to explain the preventative measures and symptoms of contracting COVID-19 for those villages that would have otherwise been hard to get that information. And finally, our Vodafone team in New Zealand moved a mobile cell tower and provided free data and SIM cards to the Kiwis that were first extracted from China and were required to be isolated for 14 days by the government. So it's been great to see, you know, all of our businesses pull together in their own ways. And in conclusion, I'd say it's fair to say that our infrastructure companies are performing well, and they're also doing their bit to assist us and others in these uncertain and changing times. And I'm confident that our businesses and our people will emerge from this crisis stronger and be more resilient and resourceful than we were going into it. So with that, I'll hand over to Sophie to give you an update on how the real estate business is faring. Sophie.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jono. And hello, everyone. I wanted to sort of touch on a few points. And the first one is really just to state the obvious, which is that I really miss everyone. I miss the energy and the vitality and I guess the busyness of our office and of all of the fantastic, you know, collaboration that brings. As Stuart says, you know, we don't know when it is that we will be back in the office, but I'm sure that you would share with me the sentiment that I can't wait until that day occurs. You know, there's been obviously a lot happening in the real estate business, but generally, you know, I would say that our businesses are coping really well operationally, despite some, you know, pretty intensely challenging circumstances. And we are also really well positioned financially in these businesses. And I guess the sort of positive good news story that I'd like to, you know, focus on in my little update is really, you know, the many, many ingenious and creative responses that we've seen across our businesses to overcome, you know, both these sort of operational and in some instances, you know, financial challenges. After me, Danny and Carl are going to talk about the Brookfield Properties business, so I don't want to steal any of their thunder, but I would like to say, you know, a very, very special call out and thanks to our Brookfield Properties frontline staff. This is the national operations team, as well as all of our on-site staff who continue to come into work every day. All of our office buildings remain open for business. Even though they are, you know, largely unoccupied, I think as of yesterday we had about less than 10% of actual, you know, physical people coming into our buildings. But nonetheless, our office buildings are open, and that means that our team are going into the buildings every day. They've been dealing with a lot of, you know, operational COVID-related matters for a long period of time now, running the buildings in this sort of new normal world, really successfully, you know, hugely proactively communicating with our tenants, keeping them informed and appraised of our response, and now also dealing with the, you know, increasingly difficult financial reality for some of our tenants there. And so I did want to mention, you know, a very special thanks to all of this team who continues to deal with these operational circumstances, you know, really, really, really proactively and professionally and empathetically as it relates to our interactions with our tenants. As Daniel no doubt touched, like our office business in itself is really very well positioned. You know, we've got high quality assets with good long-term leases in place with largely high quality covenant tenants. That said, you know, it's no surprise that some of our smaller tenants you know, are and will be experiencing financial difficulties, and our approach will be to work with each of these individually on a case-by-case basis to ensure that they get through this period and, you know, coming to sort of well-rounded commercial outcomes for them, securing them, you know, continuing to see them occupy a building. And as Carl will no doubt touch on, it's really pleasing to see that in a world where things are increasingly shutting down, construction is still going, and so to see sort of positive progress on our sites, and we've got three active sites right now in Australia, is really phenomenal. Our hotel business in Australia really comprises owning the Sofitel Hotel in Brisbane. You know, and unsurprisingly, like hotel assets all around the world, this asset has been hit, you know, immediately in so far as occupancy dropping off dramatically. in the last couple of weeks. But I would just like to commend the team there for doing a really fantastic job of proactively thinking of ways in which, you know, the hotel can be used in this very different environment. You know, this has included offering for free the car parks in the hotel to health workers who come to work nearby so that they don't need to be coming in on public transport. And now also working with the Queensland Government on our offer to them for the government to take over the hotel as a health hotel, really then providing accommodation to health workers, which we think would be really beneficial. Our residential development business is well positioned. You know, the team did a fantastic job of actually bringing forward practical completion of the two residential development apartment developments that we had completed on the Brisbane River at the end of last year, you know, which in hindsight has been really fantastic. And the team now just works on the more challenging environment of continuing to have purchasers complete their settlements and now doing that in increasingly virtual and creative ways, still affecting, you know, sort of sales and marketing functions. And then finally, Aveo, which is our large retirement village or seniors living business, which we acquired only at the end of last year, and which has sort of required a really enormous operational and increasingly financial response. You know, this business owns 94 communities around Australia. We've got over 12,000 residents, and the average age of our residents is 84. So, you know, a cohort of people who are in a higher risk category to be affected by the virus and a business that is ultimately underpinned by the velocity of sales, residential sales in the broader market. So this business is going through a number of challenges, but I would again just commend the stellar work that Jeff Kendrew is CEO of that business, supported by a big team of Aveo and Brookfield people, have been doing to lead our response there, protecting our residents and really trying to prevent the virus coming into our village, positioning our business to deal with this new sort of financial environment and what that means going forward, and then also increasingly working on strategies to improve resident experience in an environment where, you know, isolation is a big challenge, and where we want to keep our residents, albeit at a socially distanced appropriate way, still interacting and ultimately happy. And as Jono said, you know, sort of the examples of our teams working together and the sort of just general ingenuity of people, I think has been absolutely phenomenal and frankly, you know, really, really humbling. And there are three examples that I wanted to call out. Jono's already called out the first, which is, you know, not having been able to find hand sanitizer for this business really anywhere in Australia or anywhere through our global procurement channels or even through our appeals to the federal government to release some of the stockpile that they have operated, such as us. You know, the Perth team led by Ian Campbell found a gin distillery there who has switched production to sanitizer, and now through links we've been able to work out not only how to buy it, but also how to ship it across to the other side of the country, which is fantastic. The next example I'd like to give is that of procuring thermometers. Again, in this Aveo business, we wanted to find a large supply, about 700 thermometers, so that we could test staff and residents' temperature. But again, you know, we're unable to secure such a placement either in Australia or globally until our Shanghai team, Yiwen and Stuart and others up there, were able to put in a really large order for us of 700 thermometers. Now, the thermometers were labelled in Mandarin, so our office team then kindly translated the labels into English so that our care staff can read them. And then also being concerned about sending such a big shipment of 700 thermometers all in one go out of China, our office team broke this big order down into boxes of 20 and individually wrapped them and individually posted them to us here in Australia. And slowly but surely, these packages are starting to arrive here, which is phenomenal. We probably won't get them all, but we've already received enough for it to be really meaningful. So, you know, a huge thank you there. And then finally, the last example I wanted to give was that of BGMA, and in particular Sutozo, who on seeing a significant amount of Qantas staff, you know, temporarily stood down and having a good relationship with Qantas, being our preferred airline carrier, is now working with Qantas on ways to redeploy these hopefully temporarily stood down staff into our Avaya business, where we need more staff. We need more staff now, and if we have an outbreak, we'll need even greater amounts. And so really trying to redeploy through a great partnership initiative workforce. So, you know, these examples to me are just, you know, hugely positive responses to very challenging circumstances. They epitomise, you know, many of the attributes of the Brookfield culture that we hold so dear. You know, not only collaboration and entrepreneurialism, but, you know, I think first and foremost, humility of people just pitching in, helping each other, irrespective of their roles or their day jobs or their function, people coming up with good ideas and making them happen. And I think that combined with, as Stuart said, the, you know, good positioning of our company in general to weather this storm, and the fact also that, you know, here in Australia, I think we're particularly lucky to be in a country with a good health system and a government that seems to be making some, you know, good decisions so far, and we hope that they will continue, you know, putting in perspective the challenges that we're going through here, which are not to be underestimated, but, you know, when we look at our peers around the world, I think it's helpful to put in perspective the fortunate position that we're in. So, you know, again, I can't wait to see you all whenever it is that we're back in our office. And to that end, I'd also like to end on a positive note that, you know, yesterday you might have seen that Multiplex has started pouring the floors of our own new office at Wynyard Place. Levels 19, 20 and 21 will be completed in the next couple of days. So as we all sit in our own makeshift offices at home, it's exciting to think of our new premises being built, and hopefully we'll be in there in about a year's time. So with that, I'll hand over to Danny.
Thanks, Sophie. So yeah, firstly, it's great to see everyone across the Brookfield Properties Australia business has adapted so well in what is indeed unusual and challenging times. You know, the dedication, resilience and humour throughout has been much appreciated, and it's proud to see the trademark Brookfield Properties Excellence continues to be delivered right across the board. And on that note, I'd just like to thank the IT team for ensuring that we continue to have the tools at our disposal that has allowed us to continue to be very productive during these times. You know, many of our teams are working tirelessly around the clock in dealing with the COVID-19 situation. And as Sophie mentioned, the good news is all our buildings remain open and operational. Our site-based teams are doing an outstanding job in keeping our buildings operational and supporting our tenants. And I think Daniel had an incident with the New South Wales Police today, you know, describing, is what you're doing essential? And absolutely it is, in terms of, you know, providing these essential services to our tenants. Our BCP committee is doing a tremendous job in supporting those teams, and I really thank them for their continued hard work and engagement. You know, no one likes to be involved in a crisis situation, but seeing the teams continually think ahead and the outputs be recognised globally within the business and by our co-owners is something we should all really be proud of. I would also like to extend that thanks to the global Brookfield Properties teams, who have constantly been available and accessible, you know, as we share best practice. And as Sophie and Stuart both mentioned, whilst it's too early to determine when we'll be back in the office, it's great to see that the planning is now around the operational framework for when our tenants start to return back to those offices. You know, our buildings are seeing daily attendance at now below 10% of normal building populations. And while many of our office building tenants are continuing to be productive via remote operations, and a number of our retailers are really trying their best to adapt, it is understandable that the government restrictions and the stay-at-home advice is presenting financial challenges to a number of our retailers and some of our office tenants. This has now seen our response focus to switch to supporting those impacted tenant customers through this challenging period. And as we've always done, we're seeking to work in partnership with those affected, working in good faith to ensure we all come out of this stronger when business life returns to normal. And it's been pleasing to see that with the first few that we've already had engagement with, the arrangements have been agreed promptly, really demonstrating the depth of relationships we have with our tenant customers to work through these challenges. You know, overall, you know, with the robust processes we now have in place in dealing with COVID-19 and with our properties predominantly occupied by high credit rated tenants, we are really in a good position to navigate through these challenges over the next few months. And like many of our tenants, we too have been very productive over the past few weeks as we work remotely. And I'll now hand over to Carl, who will share with you some of the development and leasing progress that we've achieved across the portfolio over the past few weeks.
Thank you, Danny. Just reporting on the progress of our Brookfield Properties development project. So Sophie mentioned we're incredibly pleased that construction continues on all fronts. Initially, with this the COVID-19 disruption, we were dealing with the supply-related issues out of China, and most of those issues have essentially abated. And then our focus has been locally about how to keep construction as an essential service and running. And while we anticipate that there might be some disruption, most indications are at the moment that our sites will continue. We're in extremely interesting times. In the first time in my 25 years of experience, we've got construction unions, contractors, and the authorities groups, and the developers all in working in complete collaboration to balance the line between the health and safety of the workers on site and the essential economic requirements of keeping them working. So we think that that's going extremely well given the circumstances. And the health of the projects is also in terms of financial are all sort of very robust with extremely strong pre-leasing commitments in place with high credit rated tenants. We have all of our co-investments secured, the financing is in place, and our contingent lease holdovers are in place where we need them. So our overall program is around about $5 billion. Wynyard Place, as Sophie mentioned, the structure sort of is progressing extremely well at the moment, and level 21 is about to be formed. The lift core is up to level 26, which has five more jumps to go before it reaches its maximum altitude. The transit hall into which we'll join back into Wynyard Station is really starting to take shape, and the temporary works are being removed from Anzac Day forward to reveal this new urban room, and we're picking up some benefits of cancellations of things like the Vivid Light Show that's given us better access. Also in the wider precinct, the team reached practical completion for 36 Carrington Street, which is a smaller building but a nice little addition to the precinct. In 405 Bourke Street, we've actually hit record productivity in terms of the structure and hit an eight-day cycle last week. And this is running almost neck and neck with Wynyard, so we've tried to set up a bit of a Melbourne versus Sydney race. So we've got level 20 being poured, and the jump form is up at around level 27 at the moment. The start is going on up to level 16. One, the Esplanade, or the Chevron headquarters, is in groundworks at the moment. There's only around about 40 workers on site who are well separated, and we have those trades going on through to July, so we have a high level of confidence that we can completely stay on program there. 388 George Street is one of our major refurbishments. It's also progressing well and ready to accept First State Super as the first tenant in around about July. As Danny mentioned, also leasing, our deal flow has definitely slowed in this capacity, as you could imagine, across both commercial and retail, but we were extremely pleased to announce that the signing of a hub is a co-working and conferencing facility that goes in at the two floors in Wynyard. This takes us to 81% pre-committed at Wynyard. We're also in advanced discussions with a global tech firm to take the top three floors, which includes the roof terrace, and this would take us close to 90% with only three floors to lease. Our asset management team also agreed terms for renewal for a 5,500 square metre tenant at 680 George Street, which was an extremely welcome outcome. Our immediate and clear focus is to continue to clear the deals that we have in the pipeline, which is an anchor food and beverage tenant for 285 George Street at Wynyard. We're securing a globally recognised luxury retailer at 388 George Street on our flagship corner tenancy. The team's just responded with an exceptionally good expression of interest to retain Australia Post at Southern Cross West. We're in the process of securing two more floors in Esplanade Plaza with a globally recognised legal firm. And we're interestingly responding to some new briefs in Perth and where we have a good development pipeline. We also continue to move forward with our pipeline of projects where we're very close to a development consent for Elizabeth Quays, which we anticipate shortly. And final arrangements are coming together for Esplanade Plaza. The new business team has also just completed a request for proposal submission for Treasury Square in Melbourne, which includes a pitch for prime land from VicTrack that looks over the Yarra River, including five towers and mixed-use precinct around about $2.8 billion end value. And moving forward, we expect our team will change gears to start to look at some more opportunistic plays as we see that there will be distress in hospitality assets, retail and some commercial, and that's going to mean that we could see some great development opportunities into the future. Now I'll hand over to Len.
Thanks for that. So we've got two assets in the region that are really on the front line of this particular epidemic. One of them is the hospitals portfolio in Australia, which is 43 hospitals, 18,000 nurses and other support staff. And also we have a pathology business in New Zealand. On the hospitals front, one of the corollaries of a health pandemic is that elective surgery gets deferred, or in what happened in Australia, it's actually banned, which is really a good chunk of our business. And seeing that that was coming down the pipe, we have approached the federal government and effectively offered to put our entire portfolio at their disposal, obviously at their cost, in order to put the private and public systems together in what we would anticipate to be a significant requirement over and above the public capacity. That resulted in a broader deal that recently has been announced, which took our proposal and really extended it over the whole industry. The upshot of that is we have managed to turn something which was really a threat to our viability into potentially an opportunity, not one that would result in the immediate profit, but certainly in the long term, a strategic relationship with the state, and in the short term, ensuring that all of our costs are covered. Healthscope also has significant liquidity available to it, and so we are quite confident that we'll get through this period stronger than before. There's a number of really interesting commercial opportunities that are arising, given that some of the smaller players don't have the capability we do and really recognize the value that we can add in being part of the kind of broader group. On the pathology side in New Zealand, this is what we call a capitated system, where we get paid regardless of the number of tests that we provide. It's effectively a take-or-pay payment. And given a lot of the elective work and discretionary doctor visits have reduced significantly, the volumes are down across the business, but our revenue is the same. So that business has been very resilient. We have also invested into COVID testing capability and are now undertaking a couple of thousand tests per day on behalf of the government, which is really good news. As Stuart mentioned, this is an excellent opportunity to put money to work, and Brookfield generally thrived through periods of uncertainty, and we're definitely looking to do that. The team is working very hard, and a number of interesting opportunities are emerging. The private equity group is in excellent shape. We don't have any hung deals. We have our Fund 5 that's raised and has, you know, $6+ billion of dry powder still left inside it to invest, and a lot of support from our investors to put capital to work. So we're hoping to be able to use this opportunity. That's probably it from me. I'll throw across to Stuart Mercer for the China perspective.
Thanks, Len. It's a pleasure to be with all of you today. I guess I'm really here to represent the proverbial light at the end of the tunnel. You know, our China team and our folks on the ground in Korea, you know, are really sort of about plus 60, plus 70 days ahead of where Australia sits at the moment. And we've have come through it. And so I would say that, you know, if you were to take one good news message away from all of this, is that, you know, eventually this too shall pass. And it's obviously a very challenging time professionally and personally for a lot of folks, but it is possible to get through it. And frankly, it's great to be on the ground here with our team. As life begins to return to normal, we're seeing increased traffic in our shopping malls. Construction has resumed on One East, our large development project that we acquired at the end of last year. And again, we're seeing green shoots of activity again picking up. And, you know, I would say that obviously that really comes down to the incredible commitment and professionalism that we've seen from our Brookfield Properties team on the ground here in China, and most certainly in Korea as well, where, you know, it's really been that commitment to the team, the commitment to the project that allowed us to keep all of our assets open even during the most challenging times. Our retail properties here in Shanghai are grocery anchored. And so the ability to sort of keep those properties open for our communities is a great testament to the dedication of the team. And I think obviously, as we've heard so far on the call, you know, that commitment and dedication really has been echoed by our colleagues, you know, in APAC and frankly more broadly as the virus continues to sort of spread around the world. Yeah, and look, I would say that one of the key elements, just to sort of echo the theme that Sophie mentioned, is again one of the things that sort of makes me most proud about Brookfield and its global business and the deep sense of collaboration that, you know, we have, is that when the virus really started to pick up here in China, you know, we turned to our Brookfield Properties colleagues in Australia for help in securing masks, as the supply here at the time was almost non-existent. And so it was that sort of, you know, selfless effort from our colleagues in Australia to send up several thousand masks that allowed us to keep our properties open, allowed us to keep our frontline workers safe. And they did it at a point in time where I don't think they were expecting anything in return. And so it's been very heartening and frankly quite encouraging now to be able to return that favor by sending down thermometers to our seniors business in Australia, as well as now purchasing and transferring more PPE equipment as the Chinese supply chain picks up. And so I think, you know, one of the great thanks that I want to say is really, you know, on behalf of the China team and Korea that has now received a shipment of masks as well, you know, thank you guys for your support. And frankly, it gives us a great pleasure now to sort of return that favor to all of you as things begin to, you know, return to a state of normalcy up here. So, you know, I hope we continue to be a bit of beacon of optimism for the rest of the folks around the region who continue to work at home and are sort of in the deepest days of this at the moment. But, you know, we look forward to continuing to support all of our colleagues across the region and the globe. And we hope that this passes for you sooner than it did for us. So with that, thank you guys again, and I'll pass it back to Stuart, who will handle the Q&A for everyone.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Stuart, for the China update. It's great to have an optimistic story to look forward to, and thank you to all the other speakers for those great updates on your businesses and making us all feel more connected at this time where we're all having to work remotely. So we don't have any questions, I don't think, that we haven't already addressed via the email. So Operator, I think at this stage we're happy to open up for Q&A if anyone on the line would like to ask anything.
Of course. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 0 followed by 2. Again, that's 0-1 on your telephone keypad now. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone keypad now. There are currently no questions in queue, Mr. Upson. Please continue.
Okay. Well, it sounds like maybe our speakers did a great job of covering everything preemptively, but if anyone does have any questions that they either think of later or didn't want to ask on the live call, please do send those through to the comms team and we'll follow up, either directly or on the next time we have one of these calls. Assuming we still don't have any questions, I guess I'll wrap things up. Before we go, I just want to remind everyone, if you are feeling unwell, please self-isolate, seek medical advice, and let HR know. With Easter and school holidays coming up, and indeed if you feel like you need a break, I also wanted to remind you, you can still take leave if that makes sense in your situation. I'm actually taking next week off myself, and while obviously it's not the ideal set of circumstances for a holiday, I am looking forward to having some quality family time at home. So with that, thank you all for dialing in today, and please continue to stay safe. Thank you. I think that's it, operator.
Thank you, Mr. Upson. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our conference call for today. Thank you all for your participation. You may all now disconnect.